lot of things. But one of the important things that it means is that we need to remember that he is the same yesterday and today and forever. God's basic attributes have never, ever changed. And what that means is that the way that God treated people in the Old Testament is very much like the way he treats people today. Well, I was thinking about how God looked at people who made excuses in the Old Testament. Oftentimes, the excuses that they made were intended to make someone else think that there was a reason for what they were doing. But in reality, it was just an excuse that was masquerading as a reason. I read a story about Steve Jobs when he was at Apple. He was terribly disappointed that the janitors weren't emptying his wastebasket in his office. It brought them all together, and he said, "How come you're not emptying the wastebasket in my office?" Now, they had a reason. They said they changed the locks and nobody gave us a key. That's a reason. That's not an excuse. When I talk about excuses today, that's not what I'm talking about. But I am going to talk about excuses. Our sovereign God has never accepted excuses for disobedience. A passage that we have looked at on a number of different occasions, 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, is a record of Saul and what he had to say when he came back from, well, he was supposed to have killed all of the Amalekites. He didn't. He came back and he had a lot to say, but basically he tried to evade the truth. 1 Samuel, we'll begin reading at verse 15. It says, "Samuel said to Saul, 'The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people Israel. Now therefore listen to the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I've noted what Amalek did to Israel in opposing them on the way when they came up out of Egypt. Now go and strike Amalek.'" Amalek was the king. "Go and strike Amalek and devote to destruction all that they have. Do not spare them. Kill both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." So Saul summoned the people. He numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 men on foot, 10,000 men of Judah. Saul came to the city of Amalek, and he lay in wait in the valley. And Saul said to the Kenites, "Go, depart, go down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. You showed kindness to the people of Israel when they came up out of Egypt." So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. Saul defeated the Amalekites from Havilah as far as Shur, which is east of Egypt. He took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and devoted to destruction all the people with the edge of the sword. Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the oxen and the fattened calves and the lambs, all that was good. They would not utterly destroy them. All that was despised and worthless, they devoted to destruction. The word of the Lord came to Samuel. I regret that I made Saul king. He's turned back from following me. He's not performed my commandments. Samuel was angry and he cried to the Lord all night. Samuel rose up early to meet Saul in the morning. And it was told Samuel, "Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a monument for himself and turned and passed on and went down to Gilgal." And Samuel came to Saul, and he said to him, "Blessed be you of the Lord. I performed the commandment of the Lord." That's what Saul said. Samuel said, "What then is the bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen that I hear?" Saul said, "They brought them from the Amalekites. The people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God. The rest we've devoted to destruction." Samuel said to Saul, "Stop. I'll tell you what the Lord said to me this night." He said to him, "Speak." Samuel said, Though you are little in your own eyes, are you not the head of the king of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel. The Lord sent you on a mission, and he said, go devote to destruction the sinners of the Amalekites and fight against them until they're consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you pounce on the spoil and do what was evil in the sight of the Lord?" And Saul said to Samuel, "I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone on the mission which the Lord sent me. I brought back Agag, the king of Amalek. I devoted the Amalekites to destruction, but the people took of the spoil. Sheep and oxen, the best of the things devoted to the destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal." And Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. To listen is better than the fat of rams. Rebellion is as the sin of divination. Presumption is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you from being king." The story is simple. Saul was sent to destroy the Amalekites completely. Saul and the people spared Agag, and I find it interesting that they spared everything that was good. But the things that were worthless, those they destroyed. Saul turned his back on God. He stopped following him. He did not carry out God's commands, in spite of what he said to Samuel. We can see it. And he tried to blame the people. He said, "The people spared the best of the oxen and the sheep." But that's not what really happened. And Samuel said, "Stop. This is silly. Don't make excuses. Those are not the reasons. You didn't want to do it." And the ultimate result was that Saul was rejected from being king. Well, think back to the very beginning. Genesis, the third chapter. Another passage we're very familiar with. This time the reading doesn't have to be as long. We'll start in Genesis 3 we'll start kind of in the middle of verse 11. And we'll read down through verse 13. This, of course, is the conversation that God has with Adam and Eve after they have decided to go ahead and eat the fruit of the tree that God had forbidden to them. Genesis 3, starting in the middle of verse 11, God said, "Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman you gave to me to be with me, she gave me of the fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. The Lord said to the serpent, on your belly you will go. One day you will bruise the head of my gift. Oh, you will bruise the heel of my gift and he will bruise your head. To the man, he said, now you're going to have to till the ground. And it won't cooperate with you anymore. The situation that existed in the garden when the ground and Adam cooperated, that's gone. He said to the woman, from now on you'll have pain in childbearing. And he cast them out of the garden. Well, the man said, the woman you gave me, she gave me some of the fruit and I ate it. That was his excuse. The woman said, the serpent deceived me, I ate it. But everybody knows that wasn't the reason. They knew it wasn't the reason. It was just an excuse and it was masquerading as a reason. God knew that it was an excuse masquerading as a reason. And you know what? Adam and Eve knew too. Genesis 3 at verse 6. The record says the woman saw that the tree that had been forbidden was good for food. She saw it was a delight to the eyes. And she saw it was desirable to make one wise. That's why she ate it. The excuses weren't the reason. See, you can never fool God. You might fool people. And in some way, you might even find a way to fool yourself, but you'll never fool God. Our God always knows the truth. He is sovereign. That means he's omniscient. He sees everything. He is omnipotent. He can do everything. And he is omnipresent. He's everywhere. Hebrews, the 4th chapter. The writer said, the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, even penetrating as far as the division of soul and spirit, both of joints and marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. There is no creature hidden from his sight. All things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him to whom we must answer. I really like the reading of the New American Standard there. Our sovereign God always knows the truth. I read another story about a man who went to his friend and he said, can you let me borrow your car? And the man's friend said, I can't. The price of bread is up 43% today. Well, the first man said, what on earth does the price of bread have to do with me borrowing your car? Well, the truth of the matter is, when you don't want to do something, one excuse is just as good as another one. It doesn't matter what your excuse is. We're not talking about reasons. We're talking about excuses. But there's something else. And this is kind of the exciting part of serving a sovereign God who doesn't ever change. We can repent. We can make excuses and then come to our senses and we can say, I will not do that. And God will forgive. As people, we have a hard time forgiving sometimes. We don't always do it, but let me tell you, God always honors true repentance. Matthew, the 21st chapter, beginning at verse 28, Jesus tells a story. You really have to see the whole of this story. What do you think, Jesus says? This is from the New American Standard again. I really like the reading. A man had two sons. He came to the first. He said, "Son, go and work today in the vineyard." He replied, "I don't want to." See, he got right to the reason. He didn't make an excuse. He got right to the reason, "I don't want to." Afterward, he regretted it, and he went. Same man came to his second son, said the same thing, and he replied, "I will, sir." But he didn't go. Which of the two did the will of his father? The apostles that were with Jesus said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you. John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you didn't believe him. The tax collectors and the publicans, or the prostitutes, believed him. You, seeing this, did not even have second thoughts afterward so as to believe him." We've all, at one time or another, disobeyed what God wanted us to do. We don't need to make excuses for it. It doesn't fool anybody, least of all God. We need to repent. God always honors repentance. And I'm glad that he does. I can't imagine what it would be like to serve a God who is as limited as the people that I'm around. God always forgives. I'm glad of that. I think that's the kind of God you want to serve. I could see why somebody wouldn't want to serve a God who said, "You messed up, that's it." But our God doesn't do that. Don't buy into the notion that that's the God that we're preaching, because it's not. Repent. He'll forgive.